What makes time tick? The biblical method for measuring time. Genesis 1:14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." Genesis 1:14 tells us the very purpose of the lights in the heavens. They are to be instruments for measuring time. Notice this purpose is given to them well before mankind shows up. Their purpose is given 2/3 into creation and 1/3 of creation before man. Furthermore, the first man isn't instructed to use them for time at all, as he is given 3 verses of instructions covering his dominion, what to eat, and even what animals should eat. This indicates to me that the purpose of the lights in the firmament of the heavens is independent of mankind. As far as we know, mankind throughout history was more limited in the use of those instruments than we are today. If the purpose of the lights in the heavens are to measure time, wouldn't more lights help us measure more time? The further out we can see, the broader the spectrum we can have on measuring the largest events, and therefore the largest measurements of time. In other words, we have a greater ability to utilize the purpose of the heavenly instruments laid out in this scripture than at any time in our history. This is precisely what cosmologists do. They look into the firmament of the heavens to measure the biggest, broadest span of time, the age of the universe. Is there any reason verse 14 prohibits that? I don't see one. It plainly says that the lights in the heavens are to measure years, among other units, and that is precisely what cosmologists are doing when they try to measure the age of the universe. However accurate they may be, they are at least using the biblical method, and therefore God's method for telling time. What do many Christians do? They ignore verse 14 and talk about the word day. So let's talk about the word day. Why say day? For what reason could God have had for using the word day as opposed to the other periods of time mentioned? A day, unlike any other representation for time in Genesis 1:14, is the only one that has a well-defined beginning and ending. It begins at sunrise and ends at sunset. Its beginning and ending is based on 2 well-defined events. Those parameters correspond with well-defined events within the passage. Day 1 began with the movement of God's Spirit and ends with God giving names to the light and the darkness, defining the parameters of nature and time. Day 2 begins with God creating the fabric of the cosmos and ends with His calling it heaven. So the days continue, beginning and ending with events. Those events fall within the brackets of the words evening and morning. Years need seasons, months, or days to be measured. Seasons need months or days to measure, or if you want to be technical, a season is the broad, slow transition of a climate. Months need days to measure, but days only need sunrise and sunset. Essentially, a day is a span of time marked by events, not a specific measurement of time. I elaborate more on that later. Evening and morning. The main argument that a creation day is 24 hours is the use of the phrase evening and morning, which taken literally would mean 12 hours, not 24. The argument is that although throughout the rest of Scripture, evening and morning always means a regular day, this would be the only case in which it would otherwise apply. I see no problem with this being the exception, since this was the only place in the Bible in which God was creating. The word for in the beginning, Bereshit, would be the only case in which it would fully apply since there was only one beginning. The word to create, bara, means to fatten up, but in this one case it would be used and understood as creating, and many assume it means to appear out of nothing. That doesn't happen today. That would be an exclusive use of that word. I could go on through the other words, but you get the point, don't you? Therefore, the uniqueness to the context of creation is not problematic for me. Day 7 is an anomaly that doesn't follow the evening and morning pattern. Is this a 24-hour day? If so, why isn't the statement there? If it's not a 24-hour day, like many assume the other days are, why is it different? Does it end, or is it continual? If it continues and isn't a 24 period of time, doesn't that indicate that the other days may have been longer periods of time as well? What is a day? The span of a day is always changing, both throughout the season and throughout its entire history. The rotation of the earth is slowing down. Why would we be so insistent that it was ever intended to measure the events of creation when it has no consistency whatsoever with itself? What is a day? God called the light day and allowed the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. For this reason, many people conclude that the biblical definition of a day is a 24-hour period of time. If a day is simply 24 hours and God called the light day and the darkness night, then how many hours are in a night? Zero? Are we to conclude that approximately 12 hours is for a day and 12 hours for night, and the sum of them is also a day? Now we have two different definitions for a day in the same verse, do we not? The creation counts the evening and morning as the day. How many hours is this? It depends on where you are on the planet as well as where you are on the calendar. Is a day the same measurement anywhere? No. Neither the beginning of a day, the duration of a day, nor the ending of a day is ever the same. Nothing about a day, even from a personal perspective on this same planet, is ever the same. Its length can span from zero for several months to being several months at the poles. Are we supposed to measure a day at perfect equinox? Since a day is counted by the advent of morning and evening, would we have to arbitrarily pick perfect equinox to factor in these radically different variables? That begs the question. Did God cease from his work at nighttime? Seems very apparent that he did, according to the language used, if you take it literally. Yet I'm not aware of anyone who believes this way, even though it would be the most literal way to read it. Did God rest at night? If so, why isn't it ever mentioned? What part of the earth did God use to mark when to stop working? Did he just keep time in his head when neither the earth nor the sun had yet formed? At this point, don't you think we've gone far enough imposing our personal experience on God as he created the universe? Does it seem foolish to measure the passing of time of an incomplete universe with the tools that only exist in this completed one? These tools only given after most of creation had been made. Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Notice the cosmic language used to illustrate the difference in his ways. When God authored the account of creation using a primitive language that had a vocabulary 10 times smaller than modern Hebrew and 125 times smaller than ours, and delivered that account to a people that had a fraction of our knowledge and understanding of the universe, what word should he have used for volume, mass, gravity, radiation, the division of fundamental forces of nature, and the passing of incomprehensible quantities of time? If the universe is 13.7 billion years old, what word of the 8,000 in their vocabulary should God have used to describe even 1 billion years? Was there a number that high? Was there a use for a number that high for most of history? Was God under any obligation to accurately describe the time periods he allowed to play out between his interventions and creation? To insist on the strict equivalent application of the language in this passage to precise measurements of time is an utter misunderstanding or ignorance of the nature of time, not only in well-tested physics, but also the biblical teaching of it in relationship between God and man. Let's see what the Bible says about the relationship of time between God and man first, then I'll explain the physics. Is God's time our time? Another argument used to support the normal day assumption is the use of it in Exodus 20:11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. It is argued that when Moses was given the commandment to work 6 days and rest on the seventh, he gave the example that the Lord did all his work in 6 days and also rested on the seventh. Case closed, right? Is this a good argument? Is God's definition of a day the same as our definition? No, it is not. Psalm 90, 1-4. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the foundations were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. For 1,000 years in thy sight are as but yesterday, when it passed, and as a watch in the night. Referring to the beginning of the creation of the universe, the psalmist makes the specific point that that time to God is not the same as time for man. Within the very context of creation and time, he makes the point that long periods of time are of little consequence to God. Peter makes the same point either quoting from this passage or expounding upon it. In 2 Peter 3, 7-8. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. Approximately 1,850 years before Einstein's theory of general relativity, which illustrates that two different measurements of time can be equal from a third perspective. Peter illustrates how two measurements of time can be equal from a third perspective. Did you know general relativity was biblical? Peter makes the case that God does not experience time the same way we do. Peter literally tells us not to be ignorant of one thing. That one thing is not just time, but the distinct difference of time variance between us and God. Yet so many Christians claim that a day is a day is a day, when, as I've laid out before you, that under no circumstances is a day of an equivalent measurement even to itself. Was man present in the creation of the world? No. Job 38:4, God speaking here, where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. So if we're going to choose between man's time and God's time, which would be more appropriate? Man wasn't there. Only God was. So why would we impose the timeline of our own experience on God's creation process when the Bible specifically spells out that there is a difference? God was there, mankind wasn't. Am I taking 2 Peter 3 or Psalm 90 out of context? Not at all. Peter literally begins this thought process within the context of creation, and so does the psalmist. So when these scriptures are used, they couldn't possibly be more relevant to Genesis 1. 2 Peter 3, 4 through 6. Where is the promise of his coming? He's quoting the scoffers. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. The Most High God is known as long-suffering and the Ancient of Days, but for some reason, some Christians want to teach that God was in some kind of hurry to get to the creation of man. This is in direct conflict with his very nature as described by the Holy Scriptures all throughout. Is your view of creation consistent with God's nature? Mine is. The whole point of Peter's dialogue is to point out that God is not in a hurry. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Daniel 7:9 says, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit." I wonder who the Ancient of Days is. Can you put time in a bottle? Is this thing we call time even real? Is time an illusion? Some have called it the most stubborn illusion of all. Einstein called time both imaginary and real. Time is the sum of the known speed of an object through a known measurement of space. How we can measure time from our perspective is to measure the rate of movement of objects in known distances of space while also knowing the forces involved. Yet that is only half the equation. That doesn't tell us anything. In order for those measurements to mean anything, they have to be compared with another set of things moving through space. Even those comparisons aren't sufficient enough to be completely accurate. With all that, we still only have time according to one perspective, our perspective. These measurements and comparisons that we call time are subjective and play out independently based on relative speed, acceleration, and proximity to a gravitational field. In our experience, these differences are undetectable and practically irrelevant. On a cosmic scale, the scale God did most of his creating, and the scale in which the lights in the firmament of the heavens reside, the ones whose purpose, according to verse 14, are to measure time, that scale is where these differences would be very relevant. Therefore, the age of the universe varies from place to place. So how can the universe be one age? Astrophysicists average out the variations to a universal age, and that is how they come up with a number, rather two numbers. No one claims that it is strictly precise, but currently it is an average of those two numbers. And as recently as last year was being questioned, within 2 billion years. I have no idea how old the Earth is, but I do know that the Earth is part of a larger timeline. That timeline is the heaven or cosmic timeline. It isn't accidental that the word heaven is mentioned first in Genesis 1:1. It isn't incidental that earth appears in the middle of creation. It isn't a coincidence that the heavens are finished before earth is finished. Peter said, "The heavens were of old," or existing long ago. In other words, Peter didn't believe in a young universe, and neither do I.